The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is from Joe Galusik. Visit us on the web at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
I want to read to you from Acts chapter 7. And I'm going to begin in verse 51. Acts chapter 7 and verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Not exactly the most beautiful portion of Scripture around. Not exactly the nicest subject in the world to talk about. It ends with the death of a saint. This is the climax, the ending of the sermon of Stephen, who is called a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, a man full of faith and power, a man who did wonders and miracles. And guess what? The Jews disputed with him. Now, they couldn't resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. What's that mean? Well, they couldn't out-argue him. They couldn't dispute the things that he said or the things that he did. Why? Because he spoke the truth according to the Scriptures. So, what happens with religious people? They lied about him. They cheated. They accused him of blasphemy. They set up false witnesses and had others lie about him. Welcome to religion. I'll tell you this. Religious people, and the Bible proves this out in several different places, religious people will do anything they can get away with, and they will justify themselves by saying it's for the greater good. The Jews, the Pharisees, and the scribes, they wanted Jesus Christ dead. Why? Because of what he said. Because of his teaching. They brought false witnesses against Christ Jesus when they were trying to get him crucified. They lied. They had other people lie. Why? Because they couldn't stand the truth of God as it's revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. There is no worse crime to the religious people than speaking the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, they did give Stephen here a chance to speak, and he certainly did. He spoke of their own history and how God had saved his people in spite of the people's rebellion. But what I want to talk to today, what I want to talk about today, is ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. This is the illustration that Stephen gives here in this passage. This is the illustration he was applying to these Jews who were listening to him. This is an illustration of being stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Now, in virtue of this illustration, I will say this. I have been stiff-necked before. I've woken up with a stiff neck. I don't know how many of you have woken up and find your neck not wanting to turn. It hurts if it turns. That's what it means to be stiff-necked. That's what it's like. You don't know how important your neck is to the head and the rest of your body until you wake up one morning and your neck does not turn. It doesn't move. Well, but here, as I said, stiff-necked is a scriptural term. This is not something, I want to be clear about this, this is not something that Stephen made up of himself. Stiff-necked is God's term. Specifically, it was God's term for the congregation of Israel. He told this to Moses in Exodus 32 and verse 9, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. So stiff-necked is a description of the people who would not hearken to the Lord, even though they were in the congregation of Israel. And that's the way Stephen used it here. Then Moses used it a couple of times, once to the Lord and once to the congregation. In Deuteronomy 9 and 6, addressing the congregation, he tells them this, understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. Like I said, it's a scriptural term. Stephen knew his scriptures. And that's what he was using when he was preaching to these Jews. And let me tell you this, stiff-necked is not a complimentary term. You understand? It wasn't God complimenting Moses on how nice the people of Israel were. No, they were rebellious. They were stiff-necked. They would not turn from their own ways. They would not bow to him. This is what it means to be stiff-necked. Using this illustration, it means to be inflexible and it means to be stubborn. You understand, if your neck's stiff, you can't turn your head. You won't turn your head because it hurts. Your head will only point in one direction. And it's hard to turn and it hurts to turn if you've got a stiff neck. Well, what's so bad about that? Well, sometimes it's good to turn. Matter of fact, sometimes it's essential to turn. Paul rejoiced in the Thessalonians because they had turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven. Those Thessalonians were not stiff-necked. Now, what else can't happen if you're stiff-necked? Well, it's hard to bow your head when your neck is stiff. And the stiff-necked will not bow to God. Stiff-necked people will not bow their head to Christ Jesus. Why? Oh, it hurts. It hurts to bow to Christ. And it hurts terribly if your neck is stiff. Most people don't want to bow to anyone except for their own God, if that. Their own thoughts, their own imaginings, their own beliefs. They will not bow. There's a story in the scriptures that Christ gives of one, and it says this statement, and I always remember this statement. It says, we will not have this man to reign over us. That's the way most people feel about the Christ of the Bible. But here, stiff-necked people will not bow their head to Christ Jesus. It says in 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 8, now, be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. Stiff-necked people will not yield themselves to the Lord. They will not yield themselves. They cannot bow their head to him. They will not bow their head to him. Their neck is stiff and it will not bend that way. So they will not yield to the Lord. Now the question arises, this is what Stephen said about these Jews that were there. These Jews that were just getting ready to gnash on him with their teeth, to bite him. They were so angry. They literally bit him. And then they took him out and they stoned him to death. But it doesn't tell us here, not exactly why here, that their neck is stiff. And yet, it actually does tell us why their neck is stiff, if you look at the scriptures. Like I said, Stephen's not making this stuff up. He's just repeating what Moses had told the congregation. He's repeating what the Lord had told Moses about the congregation of Israel. That's the rest of the description illustration that Stephen uses here. They are stiff-necked because of the uncircumcised heart and ear. The uncircumcision of your heart, the uncircumcision of your ears causes the stiff neck. Now I realize in this scripture it doesn't tell you that explicitly, but like I said, they're both there. And Stephen knew the scriptures. In Deuteronomy 10, in verse 16, it says this, "Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more," what? Stiff-necked. "Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked." You understand, the stiff neck comes from the uncircumcised heart. That's the conclusion. That's what that scripture is saying. Now, these Jews, they're all Jews here. These Jews were not uncircumcised in the flesh, but they are uncircumcised in heart and ears. What's that all about? Well, Isaiah had a message from God to Israel. In Isaiah 6 and verse 10, he says, "Make the heart of this people fat and make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed." These Jews had circumcised flesh, but their flesh being circumcised, but there was no inward circumcision. They were fleshly circumcised. They were circumcised after the flesh. What's that worth? Well, right now, it's not worth anything. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant of God Almighty to Abraham. There was certainly nothing wrong with it at the time. There's nothing wrong with it, period. But circumcision here was a sign of what God does to his people, in his people. How can I say that? Well, Paul explains it this way. Romans 2 and verse 28 says, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh." Verse 29, "But he is a Jew which is one inwardly." And circumcision is what? Is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now who wrote that? The Apostle Paul did. You know where Paul heard about being uncircumcised in heart and ears and that circumcision of the heart was what was needed? Right here in Acts chapter 7. Paul, at that time, was a young man named Saul. And it states clearly in the scriptures, they put their cloaks at the feet of a young man, Saul, when they went to go stone Stephen. He was in charge of keeping track of everybody's coats and letting nobody steal them. And it says clearly in the scriptures that he said he was consenting to the death of Stephen. Paul was right there and heard this message as Saul of Tarsus, a young man. Now, Paul has realized, since God has circumcised his heart and ears, that what Stephen said was true. Circumcision of the flesh never saved anyone. And Stephen says that here. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, what does it say? You always resist the Holy Ghost. Now, you understand the one reason I came to do this sermon, I heard another fellow preaching, and he just mentioned this actual passage in passing. And the funny thing about it was, he was actually amused. This is a verse that some people use to try to prove that you can resist the Holy Ghost and resist the call of God. The effectual call, as it is known some places, but what this is, when God calls, when Christ calls his sheep by name, they will hear and they will follow. That's the way Christ puts it. See, they say, oh, no, you can resist the Holy Ghost. See, it says so right here. No, it doesn't say you can. It says you will. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. You understand? If you're uncircumcised in heart and ears, you're going to resist the Holy Ghost. There is no way you can follow the Holy Ghost. Why? The natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. It takes a spiritual man, which takes the circumcision of the heart, in order to hear, in order to receive, in order to believe the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man cannot. That's what Stephen is saying here. If you're uncircumcised in heart and ears, you will resist. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. The stiff neck cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. They will not, and they cannot bow their head to Jesus Christ, who is God. The stiff neck will not have this man to reign over them. Now, what does the scripture say about the uncircumcised? What does it talk to us about? Well, according to the Old Testament, the uncircumcised shall be cut off from the people. The uncircumcised cannot partake in what? The Passover. No stranger eats of the Passover. And what was outside the Passover? Well, if God passed over and did not see the blood, death was there. Nothing but death. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no stranger eats of the Passover. The uncircumcised do not partake. The uncircumcised shall be cut off from the people. The circumcision of the flesh was a type of the circumcision made without hands. The circumcision of the flesh was actually done, but it was a reference. It was a looking toward an inward work, which is, as Stephen states it here, the circumcision of the heart and the ears. Now, where does this circumcision of the heart and the ears come from? Stephen doesn't tell us. He doesn't say anything about it here. It's not mentioned. It's not talked about. He's just talking about the results. If you are uncircumcised in heart and ear, your neck is stiff. You're stiff-necked, and you will always resist the Holy Ghost. But where does this circumcision of the heart and the ears come from? Well, I can tell you this. In Proverbs, it says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made both of them. Do you understand? The Lord makes a heart circumcised. The Lord makes the hearing ear and the seeing eye and the heart that understands. Paul wrote in Colossians 2 and verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Now here it is. "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God." It's the operation of God, "who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." The circumcision of the heart and ears comes by command of the Father, by the quickening power of Jesus Christ, and by the Holy Spirit's work in you. You understand that? There are those who are uncircumcised in heart and ears, but there are those that are circumcised in heart and ears. And the opposite of them is true. If you're stiff-necked and you're uncircumcised in heart and ears, and that's why you're stiff-necked, you will always resist the Holy Ghost. So, if you are circumcised in heart and ears, you do not resist the Holy Ghost. You receive the things of the Spirit of God. God doesn't leave everyone in this state. We find that out because of the Apostle Paul. He was here, consenting to the death of Stephen, approving of the stoning of Stephen after this wonderful sermon he preached, after this accusation of "ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears," Saul was consenting unto his death. He was right there approving of every step. He watched their clothes while they went and stoned him. It doesn't say Saul threw a stone, but he confessed himself that he was consenting to the death of Stephen. But God didn't leave him there. You understand? We were all here at one time. This is the natural state of man. The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. And what is the result of that? You're stiff-necked, and you do always resist. You always, always, always resist the Holy Ghost. But God, in his time, in his power, Jesus Christ, who is God, calls his sheep by name, and they follow him. They follow him, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. The circumcision of Christ. Inward circumcision. This is absolutely necessary. Otherwise, you will resist the Holy Ghost. You will always resist the Holy Ghost. What have we been talking about? Well, we've been talking about, again, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation has always been of the Lord, and salvation will always be of the Lord. There is no difference. These stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears always resisted the Holy Ghost. And they stoned Stephen to death. This literally happened. This is not a Bible story. This is an actual account of where a man stood up and preached the truth of God in the face of Jesus Christ and told them that they killed the just one who came. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one? The prophets before were killed for speaking of Christ, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. And when the just one came, they killed him. Why did they kill him? It was the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. But they did it with wicked hands. They wanted Christ dead. And God wanted Christ dead, but for different reasons. And God hath raised him up victorious. And through him we have redemption by his blood. And through him we are circumcised with the circumcision not made, or made without hands. Thank him. Thank him for that, if you know him. Thank you.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.